Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read a couple of passages, one from the Old Testament and two from the New Testament, one out of the Gospel of John, another Gospel of Luke. First, out of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 and 6, we read this, "Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And then out of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 5 and 9, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." John wrote that about the light of Christ. And then out of Luke, chapter 2, again, a couple passages and verses out of a familiar story that we refer to as the Christmas story. Beginning at verse 1, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." A few years ago, Linda, my bride, announced that our two precious granddaughters, Hannah and Ellie, were coming to spend the day with us while their mom and dad went Christmas shopping. That was great. They could help us to finish decorating the Christmas tree, which they helped pick out a few days earlier, place a few more manger scenes where they wanted them, and help decorate the house their way. The timing was perfect, as time with them always is. But as I was about to discover, this time it was perfect for much more than what I thought was the obvious. After they'd been there a while, I noticed that Hannah and Ellie had placed one of the manger scenes directly under the Christmas tree, a spot where that we usually reserved for putting the presents. And so when I had them both together a little later in the kitchen, I asked why they had put the manger under the tree, adding the point that I thought was wise, that since we usually put presents under the tree, there would be less room now under the tree for the presents. As the words flew out of my mouth, I saw their faces melt into sadness. It's one of those moments where I wish I could take the words back, so the echoes of what I just said would stop bouncing off the walls and in my ears. But they were up to the moment with their wonderful granddaughter Wisdom, and together, without talking to each other, looked at me and in unison said, "But Gran, we first need to make room for the baby Jesus." Well, we made room under the tree for the baby and the manger that day, and we have ever since. So each year after the tree is up, with the lights all on, the first thing which they carefully put in position before any presents are placed is the manger scene. Their reminder that we have to make room for the most important of the important things, the Christ child. What about you? What about me? Do you need that reminder too? In these busy times, are you making room in your life, in your day, during this season for the Christ child? What about during the year? As we approach once again the celebration of that holy day, and as Christmas presents begin to find their way under the tree, around the manger scene, you can't help but wonder what their days were like so many years ago, days which Luke depicts in his gospel that we read a portion of a minute ago. If we could listen across the centuries, I would imagine that we would hear the tramp of millions of feet all traveling to various parts of the world known at that time, all in obedience to that command of the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus. It was a busy road and time, and the streets of Bethlehem were crowded, literally overrun with people milling about, talking and trading, waiting to be enrolled, waiting to be taxed. All of the rooms there were taken, and so we see Joseph forced to find some shelter for Mary, which he did in a stable. Having passed by the palace of Herod, the dwelling places of the rich, the shacks of the poor, this young couple's welcome to Bethlehem was in a stable out behind the inn because, as Luke points out in the scripture we just read, there was no room for them in the inn. Welcome to Bethlehem, Holy Family. Welcome to a dirty, damp, cold, dark manger in the back of an inn, and where no one seems to notice or no one seems to even care that you are even there. But you know, it's really symbolic, that moment of what would happen to Jesus throughout his life and throughout his ministry. There was no room for Jesus in the inn. In fact, throughout his life, the welcome was usually the same. There was never any room for him. There was no room in the temples or the courts. His message, his ministry, and who he was not understood. And there was no room for him in the lives of so many people. But that has been the case all throughout history. There has been no room for Jesus in the lives of people. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that other things seem to crowd him out, maybe at times even in your life? Why? Why was the Lord of life, the light that overcame the darkness of the world, crowded out? In a way, I'm not sure that the innkeeper has gotten a fair shake over the years since that night in Bethlehem so long ago. I mean, he was preoccupied with what? With running a business. First come, first serve, pay your money, get your room. He was justified in saying no. I mean, there was simply no room for the Holy Family in the inn. But you see, it's by such seemingly justifiable circumstances as those that the Lord of life is shut out of our lives also. Preoccupation is the standard of our day. Preoccupation with the things of everyday living, other priorities, things that get there first, and we allow them to stay. We don't mean to be irreverent. We really don't. It's simply that the priorities of our lives and hearts get filled first with other guests and other things. We have our social obligations. We have concerts we have to go to. We have clubs that we're a part of. We have classes to attend. We have games to win. We have expectations to live up to. And for some, well, you know, we have to make a living. We don't mean to shove Christ out of our lives or set him to the side. It's simply that we're preoccupied with the business of living. The place is full. There is no vacancy, no room. How can anything else possibly fit into our busy lives and schedule? That's our justification for leaving him out. And certainly that makes sense, doesn't it? Does it? Another reason Christ is crowded out might be because of what Isaiah prophesied and John suggests in his gospel, which we read a moment ago, that a darkness existed in the world, a darkness of man against man and nation against nation. It's a darkness that has come and gone throughout history, and it's a darkness that at times invades our own lives today, where we too experience feelings of uncertainty, despair, depression, guilt, heartache, disappointment, or failure, where we find ourselves in a place where our lives have been overcome by all the problems and pain around us and within us and, yes, on top of us. Yet stop and listen to this for a moment as John reminds us that it's a darkness that the light of God's magnificent invasion of our world overcame over two centuries ago and will overcome once again in your life and in mine. That's what this season reminds us of. Again, God is here. The light of God's empowering and healing love and grace is here once again. Or maybe a third reason is that the innkeeper, or other people throughout history like we tend to do, didn't leave room for him because they didn't recognize the importance of the moment. Maybe that's the reason Christ is crowded out of our lives. I mean, if the innkeeper had realized who Joseph was making arrangements for, I wonder if then he would have found a room for them in the inn. If only he had known that this was the Son of God. If only someone had told him that years later we would date our letters from that night in his stable and the birth that occurred there. If only he had known, surely he would have made room, wouldn't he? But of course, that wasn't the way God planned it. And we, like that innkeeper, don't recognize, and we often miss the mighty, the powerful, the tremendous evidences of God because God chooses to hide himself in the meek and the lowly and the quiet, gentle ways of a baby in a manger or in the brightest star against the darkest night or in a baby's laugh or the time-honored wrinkles of a grandmother's face or in the unexpected meeting of a long time or new friend or maybe in a moment that suddenly presents itself to play with our children, our grandchildren, godchildren, our nephews, nieces, brothers and sisters, maybe something we haven't done in a while and they've missed and we've missed before they're grown and gone. Or even if they are now grown, to spend time with them now in their lives. God does things in such strange and quiet ways that we often just don't see. Those sacred moments that God is always putting in our lives. Christmas has come, and we are heading again toward that celebration of the Christ child with the hope that we will be reminded afresh and anew of the birth of the baby Jesus, with the hope that it will change us even more into the person that God created us to be. Will we make room for him this year? Under our Christmas trees, in our hearts, in our lives, will we allow him to stay, to guide us, to direct us, to love us, and to change us into all he created us to be? Will we make room for him today, tomorrow, and throughout eternity? Christ has come, and we dare not miss him. He will make all the difference in our lives. And we too must move past those things that preoccupy us and distract us and instead make him our top priority. To allow his light to penetrate the darkness and disappointments and heartaches of our lives. And then to take a look around and recognize those God-appointed sacred moments where he is present in our lives. What do you think? May I suggest that we stop and look within our hearts and make room for him, not just under the Christmas tree, but also in our hearts and in our lives, now, today, and every day throughout this season and forever. But Gran, they cried, we first need to make room for the baby Jesus. Careful though, my friends, because when you do that, when you make room for the baby Jesus, it will change you forever. It will move you closer and closer to the God who loves you, and he will move you closer and closer to the person that he created you to be. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you. For my friends, I thank you for the reminders of why, what keeps us apart from you, what keeps us separated from you at times, further away than you want us to be. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to draw closer and closer to you, especially at this time of year, to not let things get in the way, to recognize those important moments in our lives, to not be so preoccupied with things of life that we are not preoccupied with you. Help us to be not only preoccupied, but occupied with you in our lives, present every day, every moment, so that we might be all that you want us to be. Thanks for loving us. Thank you for your son. And it's in his precious name we always pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.